Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Take this opportunity to welcome everyone here into the Clay County Corner this morning, where we come to you live in the living color on your radio dial, which is, if you're hearing me, is right now tuned to WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, and we come to you here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. Remind everyone that there's a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock, and these shows are streamed on the Valhalla Horizon website. So you've got more than one chance to listen to all this important information that we feed out here every Thursday morning. And, of course, we'd like to thank the people that make this possible. We come to you through the auspices of the Clay County Chamber and the Three-Star Committee and all the great sponsors that sponsor us here each Thursday morning. And if you'd like to be one of the sponsors, yeah, give them a call, and they'll fix you right up, and we'd be glad to have you and let the folks here in and around Clay County know about your business and what your business is, and to come spend your money in Salina, still taking it all to Walmart and Cookeville and Lafayette and Tompkinsville, things like that. Spend some of it here in Salina and in the county. I think I saw a little flyer the other day that we had where they had listed all the businesses here in Clay County, and I believe that there are nearly 200 active businesses here in Clay County, which is kind of mind-boggling when you get thinking about it, because so many of them don't advertise. A lot of it's word of mouth. Of course, a lot of them are professional folks like carpenters, bricklayers, things like that. But and then we've got various little businesses set up all over the county, the beauty shops and all kinds of things like that. And well, I've got the man here this morning that helps regulate all those things. I got Mr. Matt Tuck here with us this morning, but we're going to spend quite a bit of time this morning, of course, talking about the one major health problem that we have right now. And we'll also talk about the one that could be coming up here before long. And just got a whole bunch of things to talk about. Got a whole bunch of names on the birthday list. And I think since we missed last week, we'll give away two birthday cakes this week if someone tells me I can't, I won't do it, but right now I'm saying we're going to try to do that today. And we're decorating on the courthouse. If you've been by here, you can see we're getting some stuff done on that. Hopefully have it ready. And we won't have an official tree lighting or anything like that this year. And all of our Christmas programs, of course, we've canceled. We won't be having our craft market here, our mistletoe market here in the courthouse, and also our Christmas at the courthouse show that we do each year. We're going to have to postpone them this year because, if you're upstairs in our little courtroom theater, there's not a whole lot of room up there, and everyone's real close. So, in safety's sake, a lot of these things are being canceled. And I know we didn't have our Christmas parade. Normally, last Sunday would have been the day for that. We didn't get to do that, but we're learning to kind of live with this so-called new normal right now, and hopefully we'll get back to the old normal here before long. We've got things to talk about along that line, and with that, I think we'll take a little short break. I think before I let Mr. Matt Tuck come on, I may come and do this. We've got a few kind of neat things on today in history here, and he says he's a history fan also. Of course, I taught history for a number of years, and I find some things there once in a while that are kind of interesting, at least to me, and hopefully folks listening will enjoy those too. But we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Back here, everyone. I said earlier, Mr. Matt Tuck is here, and we had a little conversation before we started, and also I think he said he started out majoring in history, social studies.
That's right.
Over at Tennessee Tech about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yep.
And of course, I'm a retired history teacher here in Clay County Schools, and I came up with a few, I know in at least 2 weeks we hadn't done anything of the day in history, but there was a couple of things here that, you know, are kind of interesting, and some of them are more trivial, but on this day in 1620, this is the day that the Mayflower actually dropped anchor at Cape Cod, where they spent that first winter tune about all of them starved to death, and I think then they finally moved on shore. But now, if you ever get a chance to go up and visit where they landed there at Provincetown and Cape Cod is a beautiful place. It's a very historical place all in that area there. So, you know, that's a place to go visit if you haven't been up there yet. And then in 1805, the Lewis and Clark expedition, led by, of course, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark, they reached the Pacific Ocean, the first European Americans to cross the West. That was a big, long journey. And, of course, they had help from Sacagawea.
Yes,
I believe it was, helped guide them through it. Of course, you know, that's something now, when we get on an airplane, we don't think much about that, but these folks took off on foot. Basically, you know, they had wagons and canoes and stuff with them and traveled all the way across the United States. Of course, now this is something here, too. In 1861, Julia Ward Howe wrote something down on paper. Would you remember what that might have been, Matt?
No, I don't.
Mine eyes have seen?
Nope.
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Okay.
She actually committed that to paper, and I think maybe she had been singing it a few times before that, but she's sitting down and saying, I kind of like it. If I may write it down. And another event in 1863, and all of us that took American history in high school, probably in elementary school, would remember this first line, 47 years ago. This is the day that Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. And I think back in those, we all had to memorize that thing.
In eighth grade, I was in.
And then in New York City received the first Marconi wireless transmission from Italy, the beginning of wireless radio, 1911. And this has always been kind of interesting, too. If you were a history student, you knew about this. But in 1919, the U.S. Senate rejected the Treaty of Versailles by a vote of 55-39. The United States never officially signed the treaty that ended World War I. Two years later, they passed a resolution ending hostilities with Germany and Austria and Hungary. That may be the only war that we've ever participated in that we did not sign the peace treaty. I know there were some things in there, that some of the boundaries and things like that, that Congress didn't like, so they didn't pass it. And then if you're an old comic book fan, I can't remember this far back, but in 1939, superheroes, Flash and Hawkman first appeared in Flash Comics number 1 by DC Comics. Is that better? All right. People couldn't hear me good. I guess my mic had dropped down a little bit below the mat. We got that technical difficulty worked up. But that's longer. Also about the same time that Superman, Batman, all those DC Comics, of course, were the, that was the comic company there back in the 30s and 40s. And if you happen to have a copy of that comic, hold on to it for a little while longer and put it on eBay or somewhere or another and get you a couple of bucks out of it. And I don't know, now Matt might remember this one, in 1959, Rocky and his friends debuted on ABC television. Rocky and Bullwinkle made their first appearance in 1959.
I wasn't around for the first one, but I've seen some of the reruns.
So those are kind of some of the things that happened on this day in history. And I hope you folks enjoy this. And I missed one here. In 1895, now this is a real important one. American inventor Frederick E. Blaisdell patented the first pencil. So, and of course, if you know anything about the pencil industry, you know the major pencil industry, when they were big-time employers and stuff, wound up in Shelbyville, Tennessee. One of the major pencil manufacturers in the United States and the world for a long time. And I think they still do make pencils down there. But I can't remember the name of the company, but Shelbyville, Tennessee was at one time called the pencil capital of the world. So with that, Matt, good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you here with us this morning. I know you've been kind of busy the last few days. I know you have been, you don't just cover Clay County, do you, Matt?
No, sir. I cover Macon County, Jackson County, and Clay County.
And you have offices and all. Of course, we have the health centers.
Yep, at every health department, yep.
And do you have a regular schedule or kind of as-needed basis?
I fly by the seat of my pants. I'm liable to be in all three in one day or spend a day at each one. It just depends on what's going on.
Okay, now let's talk about right now, just before we talk about some stats and stuff, what a typical day for you could be like?
A typical day is a lot of phone calls from the different mayors of the counties, the school board, asking questions, me trying to answer them as best I can, and, on the policies that the health department has. So I may get a phone call in today from Mayor Reagan and update him on the changing CDC guidelines, and they will be implemented out through the rest of the county. You never really can tell what my day is going to be like. I'm actually on my, just past my 1-year anniversary here at the health department, and what a first year it's been.
And, just looking here, Matt, it's great that we have younger people now that are in charge of some of the things here, because there's quite a few of us that are maybe my age range or a little bit younger. It looks great to see. I know you're local to Macon County.
Yes, sir.
You do have a college degree.
Well, now then, you had chances, I'm sure, to go into other fields and may have to begin with. You had chances to leave this area for what a lot of people would call more opportunity and that type thing. But you chose to stay here, and really you're performing a great public service.
Yes, sir. I mean, I worked for the athletic department at Tennessee Tech, and I had an opportunity to go to Texas Christian University, and I decided to stay home. I didn't want to get that far away from my family, and took the first career path that presented itself to me, which was actually working at Alexander Funeral Home in Lafayette. Then I found my way to the health department, thankfully.
That's a big jump there.
It is a big, yes, it's a big career jump.
A question on I have the Clay County data snapshot here from the state of Tennessee. Are you responsible for? Are the health departments responsible for reporting those numbers, or is it?
Yes, we report all of the positive cases and all of the negatives as well to our regional office in Cookeville, and then those are reported to the state. Private doctors who administer and hospitals that administer the tests also report those to the state as well.
Okay, so there are more than one group that does reporting to the state of Tennessee.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, now, Matt, I know you've got a bunch of notes here in front of you. Why don't you kind of jump into that a few minutes, and we may come back and get a little bit more disorganized again for a little bit.
Well, Clay County is actually one of the lower numbers of counties in the state. It's in the 500 range right now. I think it is
560.
Yep. And so, you know, based on population, you know, that is, you know, that's still one of the lower numbers of the state. But, you know, right now we're at 5.5 positive cases a day, and that's on a 7-day average. It's been as low as 2, and it's up a little bit now to 5.5, but, you know, comparing it to other counties in the region, you know, that's a good number.
You know, and Matt, when this started, of course, here I go wandering off again, but, you know, you wonder, you know, we have all this the politics that have got involved in this so terribly bad, but, you know, you and I are sitting here as kind of thinking, you know, the reaction of this nation back in February, March, if political leaders had come in and said, hey, this new disease is coming this way, and we're going to shut this entire country down for 4 weeks. I mean, there's no way that any of us would have believed this was necessary, would we?
No, no. And, you know, we were fearful that it could happen the way it has, but, you know, nobody could have foresaw like exactly what it was going to be like. So in that regards, hindsight being 2020, things could have been done differently.
Yeah, you know, and we look at our political leaders and we think, you know, irregardless of whatever your political bias or non-bias is, if someone had come in and said then, hey, we need $3.5 billion to fight this disease with, I mean, they would have loaded them up and took them to the loony barn. Right.
That's right.
Now, that's a bad word there because the loony farm or something is no longer really politically correct. That's going back from a long time ago. But, I mean, we would have thought that, you know, they had lost their minds.
Right. But nobody, you know, there's no one, even in this community, that has not been touched by this virus. You, either somebody in your family or somebody that you've known has contracted the virus. And, you know, up to, and there's 18 deaths of this county, and one that I knew well that passed away is a close family friend that he passed away a little over a month ago from it, you know, and it's a difficult thing, and nobody, people didn't want to believe that it was coming this way.
And, you know, the nursing homes, you know, even rural counties like ours, if we have a nursing home in our county, and some counties don't, some do, but, you know, that's going to be a spot where you're going to, because of the age of the patients there, the residents.
Yeah, it's a very high risk, and that is why they have taken the precautions that they've taken to protect the residents of the nursing homes, and even with all the regulations that they've had, you know, there has still been, you know, cases that have broken out in nursing homes all over the state.
And, you know, and it seems like there are a few, you know, that sometimes that it's, you know, drastic, but, you know, like most of them, there will be cases there, but, you know, we kind of think, a lot of us do, that if someone in the nursing home gets COVID, it's a death sentence, but it's not.
No, sir.
The percentages in most nursing homes are really pretty low, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You know, you base it on the population that's there, and that just goes to show that they have done a good job of, as soon as they identify a case, distancing them from others and doing what they can to care for them while not spreading it to others. And it's, you know, just a good job that they have done all over, not just this county, but others as well, by protecting their residents.
Okay, Matt, let's take a little short break, work in a few words from our sponsor, and we'll be back, just in a few minutes. Okay, now what we're talking about.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go!
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there. When you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Back, everyone. Well, Matt, let's talk about some things. We've got things to talk about, like CDC, the vaccine that's coming. So you take over for a few minutes and tell the folks what's going on.
Okay. Well, first off, when this all began, the health department and doctor's offices across the state had to kind of restrict the services that they were given. They didn't want people exposed any more than they had to. So, it was very limited on what was accepted to be in the health department or doctor's offices. That's been lifted. We're still doing things, over the phone, such as, medicine refills that doesn't call for an actual visit. But the primary care clinic here in Clay County and in other counties is back open. General clinic, things like that. You know, we're back up and running pretty much like normal. And here in Clay County, we're testing for COVID-19 every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 11. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're doing it from 9 to 12. And, of course, Tim Tiernan, he's the one that's in charge of that. He's been doing a fantastic job.
Okay, let me ask you there. On the test that you do and the so-called quick test,
yes.
The difference in those, man.
Okay, well, we offer the PCR, which is the gold standard. It is the most accurate. The difference in that, and I'm not going to pretend to be a chemist or, by any means, but the difference is with the rapid test, it is going to be accurate when somebody is at their peak stage of the virus. It is not going to be as accurate if somebody is in the beginning or the ending stages of that virus. So you could have a false negative with a rapid test. With the PCR, it is the most accurate at picking up the virus at the earliest and at the latest stages.
Okay, now go ahead with what you wrap up. Folks might want to know the difference between those two.
The PCR is done using the actual genetic code of the virus. That's why it is the most accurate. The rapid test is done with a protein that is in the virus, not the actual genetic makeup of it.
Okay, let's get back to CDC now.
Okay. The CDC just changed their guidelines, as a lot of people are aware, and the Tennessee and the Department of Health is going to, adopt that. It has not been officially adopted, but they do support the change. And that basically is just going to change the quarantine time of somebody who is deemed a close contact. So before the change, if you were a close contact of somebody, you were going to quarantine yourself for 14 days. And there was nothing that you could do to, shorten that length of time. The change the CDC has put forth now is going to change that from 14 days to 10 days. You can time if you receive a negative test 48 hours before the seventh day. Sounds kind of complicated, but if your seventh day is coming up, if you receive a negative test within 48 hours of that, then you can end your quarantine on that seventh day.
Okay, so the hot time for, when you have the COVID test, the most dangerous time to the folks around you, is that usually the first few days or?
When you're exposed to the person and if they are contagious, depending on what stage of the virus they're in, you can pick it up, at any point that you're around that person. You might not start showing symptoms for several days after that. That's why they've chosen that seven-day period. More than likely you would test positive, before that seventh day.
Okay, let me ask you about this. I know from personal experience of someone that had tested positive for COVID August the 4th, and they were still testing positive 3 or 4 months later, but with no symptoms ever of any kind from the
right.
beginning or the end.
And that is the case. You can have lingering, the genetic code can still be in your system, and it can be picked up through a test for a long time after. That is why they are saying that the Department of Health is saying that once you receive a positive test, you are good for 90 days after that to not have to test again. You don't have to quarantine again. If you do become in contact with somebody, you're basically good for 90 days because they are showing that the antibodies are there to protect you from receiving the virus again for that 90 days. But you could still technically test positive because the code is still in your system for that long a period of time.
Okay, let's talk about the word you mentioned there, the antibody test. Exactly what is that and what is the benefit of that, Matt?
The antibody test, it just shows that your body has, that you've had the virus and that your body created these antibodies to protect yourself from receiving, you know, the virus again. And it can be detected through an antibody test. Some people are using this, showing that they've got it. That way they don't have to quarantine again. But that is why the Department of Health said 90 days. Whether you've got an antibody test or not, you're good for 90 days. That's what they've shown, that most people will have sufficient antibodies to protect them from getting the virus again in that period of time.
Okay, and that's something we've heard about, too, is the use of plasma with antibodies as a, I guess, a preventative or a treatment in COVID.
That, you know, the thought is that they can take the antibodies of somebody who has sufficient amount, and they can produce something to give somebody who currently has the virus or is at high risk of getting it to protect them or to shorten the length of or the severity of the illness.
Kind of a natural vaccine.
Right.
I just hit me. I thought that we're getting ready to take a little break here for a minute. But before we do that, I'm going to read this big long list of birthdays today. And beginning with, I guess, on December the 1st, James and Joe Helen Eve celebrated a wedding anniversary. And I know it's a few years of wedding bliss for those folks. And we'd like to wish them a very, very happy anniversary. Let's see, also going down through here, Ms. Vonda Weir celebrated a birthday on the 1st of this month. Joy Grace McLaren, also on the 1st. Some of these I didn't even get a date. They just called and said that I'd like you to wish them a birthday. Donna Smith, on the 30th, celebrated a birthday. And then Brenda and Kenneth Kirby celebrated an anniversary. Mr. Kelly Spivey, and I know used to when he was out on the truck with the Twin Lakes telephone. He tuned us in on the radio and listened to us, but I think he's got a job behind the desk. He don't get to listen as much as he once did, but we'll wish him a happy birthday. Mr. Donald Peeler on the 28th, and let's see, on the 30th, Kellen Page celebrated the birthday. Then we got a special birthday hollow out to Mr. Eamon Kendall. I think he celebrated his 90th birthday on the 30th. We'd like to wish him a happy birthday. And I've got one here that I guess it's over in Macon County, but we'll wish her a happy birthday, and that is Jessica Barlow on the 25th. And then on the 3rd, Amanda Hale celebrating a birthday. I guess that's about the day, isn't it? And also, Carolyn and Mark Cunningham. Mark called in. We let everybody know that they got married in 1974 and are still married. So we'd like to wish them a happy anniversary. And on the 21st, Kimberly Tribble celebrated a birthday. And Mr. Randall Gray celebrated a birthday during this period of time. And Kenzie Adams celebrated a birthday. And also today, Jason Page. So we've got all of those. And
I've got two others. Teresa Crawford is having a birthday today, and then my sweet sister-in-law is having her birthday on Monday. So Melissa Eskew.
Okay, so we got those then. But we'd like to wish all these folks a happy birthday, happy anniversary, and hope you have many, many more. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and then we'll come back here toward the end of the show, and we're going to draw out two numbers today. I got official acceptance of doing that a few minutes ago, so we give away 2K since we weren't here last week. With that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Taylor has joined us here for a few minutes, as you heard her a minute ago, but Matt is here with us, and we're right in the middle of some of the CDC things, and we were talking about the test, and we've talked about the numbers here in Clay County. What about our other counties around, Matt? Jackson?
Macon is by far the out of the three that I have is the most that we're anywhere from 20 to 30% of the tests that we give are positive. So,
okay, the difference in population in the counties is quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, the population is bigger and more people in Macon are going to higher risk areas, you know, such as Nashville, things like that, for work and coming back home. So it's just it's population disparity, and it's also route of travel that can contribute to that.
Well, you know, and something that I guess that's causing problems is something that we have always been proud of in our areas here. You know, we are highly independent, and we're very trustworthy of our family members, aren't we? We think, you know, that there's nothing bad that they can do. That, you know, they're not going to bring anything in.
Right.
And then that's kind of caused a lot of people to kind of drop their guard a little, hadn't it?
Yeah, and you know, especially over the coming holidays and the holidays that have already happened, you know, we're seeing people that, well, my daughter-in-law was positive, and we were around each other for Thanksgiving, so we need to get tested, you know. So, things like that are just going to happen.
And I know the recommendations are, don't have the large family gatherings, don't go places, do things
And I know as an ardent athletic fan, I do know that a lot of our schools in this area haven't really come up with strict guidelines for attendance at athletic contests. I'm wondering, I think Macon County does have a little bit of a policy on the maximum number of folks that are allowed in the inside buildings and that type of thing.
Right. They're limiting how many tickets can be sold, and they're stressing trying to, you know, socially distance once you are in the building. But, you know, that's something that is actually surprising, and everybody thought that when the school year started that, you know, school wouldn't be in for a month. And the school staff, the nurses, the administrators have done a really good job of notifying people that are, you know, that are close to positive cases, and they're isolating them, doing, you know, what the recommendations are, and it's really proved to benefit and able to keep school going.
You know, I think, and a lot of the young folks, the students and things, they haven't actually contracted the virus at school. They have contacted it somewhere else, and then when they got ready to come back to school, of course, you know, they go through the temperature thing and that thing, and I know Taylor has firsthand experience of that, of having a high temperature and your children not being allowed to go to school. But, you know, I think there hasn't been that rampant spread among students at physical locations, has there?
No, there hasn't been. You know, like you said, most of the time the ones that are positive are getting it from family members or, you know, work or wherever, but, you know, actual in-school transmission, there has been some cases, but it's not as much as what we're afraid of.
Okay, now, what else you got there? Blazing news we need to talk about here.
Well, the COVID vaccine, you know, that's the big hot topic. A lot of people are worried that, you know, they don't want to take a vaccine that's come around this quick. But they have shown that, you know, depending on which either Pfizer or Moderna are going to be either 90 to 95% effective. And they're both two-dose vaccines. So after you receive your second dose of the vaccine, they're showing that, you know, it's a high likelihood that you'll be immune.
Okay, and I know a lot of folks have that fear that, hey, this vaccine is going to give me COVID.
It is not a live virus vaccine.
That's the thing that most people don't realize, that even though, you know, it goes into your body, it's a dead vaccine, but your body recognizes it as an enemy. And starts,
your body creates the antibodies to protect from the same virus.
Even though what they've inserted there is a dead virus.
Correct.
So, you know, I know a lot of folks have fear of that, you know, that, hey, this could give me...
Right, and it's, and I understand why people would think that. It's just the same as the flu. Everybody thinks that, the flu vaccine gave me the flu. When in actuality, like, you may feel, you know, not, maybe not yourself a couple of days after the vaccine, but it's your body's response building up those antibodies, like we said, and it's your body's response that's causing you to feel maybe a little lethargic or something like that. It's just your body coming up with a response to it and fighting it.
Okay, let me ask you, do you know what the chemical basis for the vaccine is?
I don't. I know a little, but I wouldn't want to put it out publicly because, I'm, like I said, I'm not a chemist and I'm not a doctor.
Right, and I know the flu vaccine is based on is egg product or?
Yes, it is. That's why if you have an egg allergy, they always ask if you're allergic to eggs, you know, before the flu vaccine, you know, just in case.
And, you know, in flu, let's talk for a few minutes about it here toward the end. We're moving along, Matt. Flu vaccine shots.
Yes, as everybody knows, I mean, not just COVID, but, you know, flu is still around and it's not going anywhere. But the flu vaccine is very important to get during this season. And a lot of people have already, you know, gotten the flu vaccine. The health department here, Tim Tiernan, has done a really good job of distributing it. We've had several events. Since we're not going to the normal places like we used to inside to give vaccine, we've set up drive-through vaccine clinics over there by the old high school, and we've also went to Hermitage Springs schools, and we've went to the different schools around and have done a really good job of vaccinating a lot more people than we thought we would.
Are you going to try to do the lobbies this year at some of the events, like the basketball games?
We won't be allowed.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
minimizing exposure, so we wouldn't be allowed to go in. Everywhere we've done one, we've had to set up outside and do a drive-through. So you drive up to the tent, and somebody comes over and sticks you.
we don't want any walk-throughs right now.
Right.
Okay, and, you know, we look at this, and the flu, the different variations of this flu have been around for a number of years, and we can't eradicate it, can we? I mean, it seems like it kind of changes disguises and comes back again.
It mutates and changes each time. They try to pinpoint which strain will be the most widespread and the most severe, and they try to pick several different strains to include in the flu vaccine, you know, every year to hopefully narrow down. But there's so many different strains that it's hard to pinpoint which one's going to be the most prevalent.
Okay, and I'm going to let you get back to work here in a minute. And Taylor's coming. We're going to talk a few minutes about the chamber, but it's been a pleasure having you here, and I know you are kind of busy. The rest of your schedule today, are you staying with us in the county, or you got to keep moving?
I'll be here for about half the day, and then I'll have to go back to Macon. So
you're still on the move.
Yep.
Matt, it's been a pleasure having you here, and, of course, at any time that we can make contact, catch you when you're not busy, you're welcome to come in and sit in with us again and enjoy our discussion with you this morning.
Thank you, sir. I've enjoyed being here.
All right. With that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute. Another great job.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, Taylor's come in and joined us for a few minutes. Taylor, what have we got new going on over the chamber this morning?
Got a few grants that we're working on, got some more paperwork. Fixing to see, hopefully, we get everything back in time. Some new banners up around the town and up around the square. COVID message on them. Oh, now they will have a little COVID message on them, you know, because it is, you know, this is COVID money that we got. So we have to promote, you know, awareness, wear the mask, social distance, wash your hands for 20 seconds. So those are fixing to go up. Lord willing, they'll be here at the end of the month, and then we'll be able to put them up first of the year.
Okay, and we'll let folks, you are over there by yourself right now.
I am. I'm over there by myself, unfortunately.
Dr. Young had a little medical emergency this week, but he is up and doing better.
He's up and talking, and got his reading glasses on and everything, and so.
And I know some of the things that, I know, when you and I worked yesterday for a few minutes, and with a couple of days ago on the Zoom program, which is, you know, that is the way that communication is going on now.
It is.
And it takes a little bit of work and sometimes a little bit of aggravation to get this stuff going.
It
but
does.
Once it gets going, it looks like it's working good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this could be a big money saver for the state of Tennessee and these folks, where they don't have to send representatives
to
out and drive all over the state and rent hotels and
meeting
rooms and things.
I think, you know, one benefit coming out of this coronavirus, you know, pandemic is that we are going to move toward a lot of web-based communication and a lot of web-based meetings. And I think that's going to save overall, you know, per diem, your hotel travel and your your mileage and everything like that comes along with it. Because, you know, you think about some of the people that we have come in from Nashville. They've been able to do more at their normal job, because they're not having to drive up here for, you know, a two-hour trip up for a one-hour meeting and then 2 hours back. So, you know, it takes them all day, and then now they're able to get 2 to 3 meetings in, and that's ultimately more productive for us as a chamber and us as a state and a community. And now that we've got a few of our ECD and ID board, and hopefully we'll get some other, you know, boards and committees on the Zoom and be able to have our meetings that way. That way, you know, the chamber's more productive. We can... I hate to say it like an assembly line, but, you know, it's kind of to think about it that way, that if you're not having to drive somewhere, you're saving that time. And
okay, now the chamber recruitment.
Yes. So even though Dr. Young is out for however long, Lord willing, it's not long, and we are still taking membership. Me and him had not finalized dues yet. That's not something that I have been given permission to speak about. I know our benefits have changed, and so our benefits are actually going to be published next week on the website. And they're all going to be, we've revamped them. So becoming a member of the chamber, you're going to get a lot more services than what you have in the past. And
okay, now, I know the one board that I sit on, the ECD, I know we had a meeting the other day, and we were talking about some folks about, you know, a different website and things like that, ways to, you know, get the word about Clay County
mm-hmm.
out. And, you know, and the Chamber of Commerce, it is a county-wide organization.
Yes.
It's not just a
line. Yes.
And I know that the Chamber needs members from
yes.
Maple Grove area, from the Hermit Springs area, from the Union Hill area. And how many businesses do we have in Clay County right now? I think I said close to 200.
Yeah, I would venture to say you're very close, if not a little bit under. Because the list that I have is from 2017, and it's got 175 on it. And so I've been having to go through, take away a few that have closed their doors and a few that have changed names. So I'm constantly updating that list. So I can't give you an accurate total right now because I did not look at that number before I left from over there in the Excel sheet.
Okay, and something I'd ask you about, last night,
mm-hmm.
went to the Mexican restaurant here
mm-hmm.
in Salina and had a meal there. Well, I received a message this morning asking me to rate that business. Now, how do they tell me about that?
I don't know about that. So did you get that message from the actual Los Primos Mexican restaurant, like on your...
You know, I'm not sure where it came from, but, you know, I've noticed that with just about any business I've gone into in this area here in the last little bit, and I was wondering if that was part of our Google Maps thing that...
And it very well could be. That's not something that I that I know about. Did you check in there by any chance?
I haven't yet. I'll show you the email when we get offline here in a minute. But, you know, I've noticed that with local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I know if I go to Walmart over in Tompkinsville, it looks like I'm receiving mail. Ask me to rate the service if I visit websites.
Yeah, now at Walmart, I get one. Of course, I do grocery pickup. When I can't get stuff here in town, I do a grocery pickup from Walmart, and that always was my receipt. It always asked me, how's your service, you know, ratings like that. So it sounds like that, the Los Primos one, maybe you put your cell phone number in for the rewards.
Can't remember that, but.
Now, they do have a rewards program over there. You know, we get the free cheese dip every now and then, and it's nice.
But, you know, I've noticed that with a number of businesses here in Clay County that after visiting. And I believe I may have even gotten one from Scott's Best Way.
Well, yeah, you'll have to send me that email because I'm intrigued.
So that's something, you know, and I'm wondering how widespread that is, if it's a national thing or if it's, you know, if a visitor from somewhere else comes in, and if they're in that network or whatever.
Yeah. I'll be able to tell you more when I see that email, so that'll be something we can table for next week to discuss.
Okay. Now, let's talk about something else, too. As a parent of virtual learning, have you been exposed to it much this year?
Not since August. We done, you know, the whatever that was back in March to May.
Right.
Did not care for that at all. I know some people didn't see a problem with it, but that's not how my children learn. Two of my children have ADHD. One is on the more autism spectrum. So my children learn very differently than typical children. So they need in class, they need one-on-one, they need their teachers. They do not learn from me. We had very knockdown drag out some days trying to get some of those packets done.
And I know that we every time the so-called learning drops 0.1%, it's a big deal with, you know, all the news stations and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you wonder, you know, really how much damage is being done, and it seems like there's just so much publicity from all of these things that, you know, it's hard to decipher through and find out exactly, you know, what to believe and what not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent, you know, as a parent of young children, and we're getting ready to give away a birthday cake here in a minute, and we have got, got the numbers drawn out. We will drum roll, and we have two winners today. The first winner, anniversary celebrants, Carolyn and Bart Cunningham, have won one of the birthday cakes, and Joy Grace McLaren has won a birthday cake. So you need to come over by the chamber here and pick up the Dairy Queen card, go over by and pick up one of those delicious ice cream cakes. And it is one of the big cakes. It's not one of the little bitty ones.
Yeah.
It's a nice big cake.
Our hours, now that Doug is out for just a little bit, our hours are going to be only from 8 to 3 every day because I do, you know, I do have children, so I can't bring them back to the office. So they'll just have to come from 8 to 3.
All right. With that, I guess it's time we shut all the doors here. I think we've got everything put back up, or at least partly put back up, and we'd like to thank everyone for listening to us today here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country, rebroadcast at 6 p.m. this afternoon, and be streamed later on the Dell Hall Horizon site. And with that, we'll say, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you here again next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. But until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.